This is a podcast from CSIS, the Center for Strategic and International Studies, a private nonpartisan think tank located in Washington, D.C.
Dr. Surin Pitsawan, Secretary General of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, welcome to CSIS. You and the heads of state of ASEAN joined U.S. President Barack Obama for a historic U.S.-ASEAN summit held in Singapore. Could you share your thoughts and impressions on that meeting and explain its significance?
Well, I think it was long awaited, and I think all of us in Southeast Asia was very much anticipating a very, very productive and open-hearted kind of discussion, because the United States has been absent from the theater for some time, partly because of other problems in other parts of the world, and partly we would like to say we didn't have enough problems to deserve your attention. But when President Obama decided, you know, with the encouragement of Senator Clinton, the whole machinery in the U.S. government went to work very quick, very fast, very, very determined. Secretary of State Clinton came to see me in February, and then she said she would come to the ASEAN Regional Forum in Phuket in July. And meanwhile, she would start interagency consultations on accessing U.S. accession to the Treaty of Amity and Cooperation. Well, she came in July. She did both. And we challenged her that, you know, with all these successes, one thing that would certainly cap everything is this long-awaited summit or leaders' meeting among the 10 ASEAN leaders and President Barack Obama. And she said, let's do it. And she did it. And we met President Barack Obama, Prime Minister Abhisit and I, when we were attending the G20 meeting in Pittsburgh. And he took us aside and said, I would like to see our relationship, U.S.-ASEAN, meaningful in every sense of the word. So we would like to have that meeting in Singapore, and let's get to work. And when he came, yes, the chemistry was very right, the timing was right, and I think it's opening up a new opportunity for diplomacy, for engagement, for many initiatives in the region on many issues.
If the first summit could be described as a getting-to-know-you summit, what are the key issues you think that could make the agenda for the next summit?
Ernie, the interesting part about it is that they value such an encounter, such a high-level dialogue. In the first paragraph, it said, we look forward to meet next year, which is 2010. I mean, I have not seen any joint statement or declaration that would begin with that kind of optimism that we want to meet again next year. One. And then they end up at the last paragraph saying that we value dialogue at the highest level in this form, which means it will continue to go into the future. Maybe not every year, maybe every year, I don't know. But the fact is, 2010 has been decided. Where, we don't know. Now, there was some report that President Obama would like to invite all of them here, some report that Vietnam would like to chair, to offer the host, to host, because Vietnam will be in the chair. But anyway, I think it would be good to continue this discussion. One thing is important, and that is to demonstrate that the U.S. is back, willing, able, ready to engage and to re-engage again after a long absence. Now, and in the joint statement, you know, in the midst of a challenge for ASEAN centrality, ASEAN role, ASEAN contribution in the evolution of economic and political community building in East Asia, you know, the idea of Mr. Rudd from Australia, the idea of Mr. Hatoyama from Japan. The U.S. joint statement with ASEAN confirmed the centrality of ASEAN. The way I look at it, on the flip side, I think the U.S. is reconfirming its own centrality in the region. And that is very, very important. That is a very, very significant message, that you are back and willing to work with the countries in the region.
Will there be a U.S.-ASEAN summit next year? And do you recommend it be held in Vietnam or the United States?
Each has its own merits. I think for 10 ASEAN member states to be invited at the highest level to the United States, anywhere, Hawaii or the West Coast or the East Coast or Washington, D.C., would be a big statement that this is a serious engagement, and they have made the effort at the invitation of the President of the United States to come and dialogue on issues of mutual interest, high mutual interest, whether it's the economic recovery, integration of ASEAN, counter-terrorism in the region, interfaith dialogue, every issue that is important to the global community. By inviting them to the U.S. would demonstrate that they are main players in all of these issues and agenda. So it's going to have an impact. But for the President of the United States to travel to an ASEAN member, to the chair of the ASEAN organization next year would be Vietnam, is also fantastic, because it's a recognition that the region is important. The region is capable of contributing to the efforts to resolve some of these global challenges. After all, Mr. Obama has said all along in his campaign that the problems would be bigger and more challenging than one country or one nation can solve by itself. He would listen to regional states, regional organizations, and work in tandem in order to, to approach and to resolve some of these problems. So each will have its own merit. Either way, I think it would be very, very important to cement, to strengthen the relationship, and to send signal to the world that the two, as Mr. Obama has done, ASEAN is a trusted partner, ASEAN is a valuable partner, and the U.S. would like to engage ASEAN on that basis, pursuing many, many agenda together. So I'm not going to make judgments, but I'm going to say, either one would be fantastic.
How did ASEAN's and Asia's leaders assess President Obama's inaugural trip to Asia?
Yeah, I think it has to be taken in the context of the fact that the U.S. has given the impression that it did not regard Southeast Asia as a region worth its interest or attention, in spite of the fact that the first ambassador to ASEAN is an American ambassador to ASEAN. So I think at the level of policy, it's still there, quite important. But other agenda have clouded the schedule of the leaders, of the U.S. leaders, President or Secretary of State. So it was taking place, the meeting, the summit, took place in Singapore in the middle of that uncertainty, that sense of being sidelined. So when he came with his prestige, with his persona, with the aura of the presidency and this president, I think it brought tremendous enthusiasm and a lot of expectation that this re-engagement is going to lead to an opening up of many, many opportunities for trade, its security, its cooperation on many, many other fields. And the fact that ASEAN has been recognized by the President of the United States as a valuable partner, as an able partner, trusted partner, gives the region a tremendous sense of confidence. And other players are waiting. I mean, other dialogue partners are looking at the way in which the United States is re-engaging the region at the level of the President of the United States. That's a tremendous statement to make. So I sense the same thing. I call it a seismic change in diplomacy, a seismic change in the way in which powers are being projected, are being played, being dealt in the region among the countries of Southeast Asia and partners who are interested in the region, the Japanese, the Chinese, the Australians, the Indians, are looking at the Russians, are looking at the Europeans, are looking at the way the U.S. is moving systematically and methodically and, you know, with a lot of enthusiasm from the side of the ASEAN member states. Okay. So potential is tremendous.
Yeah.
Excitement is very high. Now we have to move on to the content of this new engagement.
Thank you for listening to the CSIS podcast. For more, please visit us online at www.csis.org.